Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 212 of Knowing Wheel. Yes, Jamie and I return with our final podcast of 2024. Knowing Wheel is back, and unlike scheduled recording, we this week are going through and doing our award ceremony for 2024. Of course, as always though, I am joined by my co-host. We celebrated episode 183 with a Lewis Hamilton win back at Silverstone. this time it's not so special, is it, Jamie?
Well, it's special in its own way. But yes, we never thought we'd get this far to 212 when we started a podcast, but here we are. Final one of 2024. It's been a good year for Formula One. Good year for both of us. Well, it's been all right, I guess. I'm still talking to you every week, so I guess that's it could be better.
That's a good thing. But, a good thing, surely.
Of course it is a good thing. Yeah, we're doing our award ceremony. So we've not done this before. We've kind of tried to rip off Top Gear, but none of us are that funny. So we're going to go through some categories. We've not planned what we're going to give the awards to, so we're just going to discuss them and then try and come not to a conclusion, because we're definitely going to disagree, but yeah, it also gives you the opportunity in the comments to give your award to whoever we completely forget about when we talk going
exactly
through each category.
I was going to say, yeah, you better leave all of your best ones down in the comments below, ladies and gents, because there will definitely be some that we've forgotten about. I believe also, Jamie, this is the last podcast for the foreseeable future where we're not, or I'm still away at the moment, but as of next week, we should be resuming normal podcasting procedures. So a massive thank you to everybody for all the support throughout 2024. The first year, actually, Jamie, that the channel obviously went completely solo from Matt212, and I'm pretty proud of how well we've done.
Yeah, it's doing well. So keep on going. Keep telling your friends about us if you have any. So I'm sure you have friends.
You just assume everybody Goodbye, that listens everyone. To this show has no friends. Brilliant.
Well,
absolutely brilliant. Well, there we go then. Number one ticked off. Right, Jamie has got all of the questions today. All of the categories, even, I should say.
We're beginning with Drive of the Year. So one race where one driver did something unbelievable to get Drive of the Year. And you can go first, Matt, because I know you won't say what I'm going to say.
Well, I know you're going to say Max Verstappen, Brazil. He made... I don't believe he actually made a single overtake that wasn't on restart laps. So that's not particularly
did.
Great.
He made loads of overtakes.
He didn't. He made all the overtakes on either lap one or restarts, I'm pretty certain.
That's not true.
Apart
right,
from
what are you gonna
other
say?
Cars were in the
I'll,
pits. I've got
I
a couple of nominations.
Brazil in a second.
I've got a couple of nominations. Of course, the big one, Jamie. The one that absolutely deserves to win it. Lewis Hamilton in Silverstone. Just fantastic. Another couple that I want to give shout-outs to. Zhou Guanyu's P8 in Qatar. I mean, he just avoided chaos, but he did get points. And, you know, you got to shout that out. Fair play to him. No, I knew you weren't. Oscar Piastri in Baku. Defended like
very,
a
very
champion
good.
In a brilliant race.
And that move. The move was incredible as well. To get into the lead.
I'm also going to say as my last potentially... I've got two slightly left field ones, which I don't think either of them will win the award because they didn't play out perfectly in the end. Number one, Bottas in Australia. He absolutely dragged that Sauber way beyond where it should have been and then got shafted by Sauber's inability to do pit stops. And last but not least, George Russell, Belgium. Obviously got disqualified after the race, but defended brilliantly on that one stop.
Yeah, fair. But your nomination would be Lewis Hamilton. in Silverstone. Yes. Well, yes. I've got a couple of things. I think Nico Hülkenberg in Austria was ridiculous.
Hats are Austria Sergio merchants. Perez.
They are.
Oh, well, that's not the benchmark, surely.
To finish sixth, like...
It was a good drive.
It was a very good drive.
They came fourth there a few years ago, but yeah.
Well, in a much... They finished seventh that race, but with three DNFs, so it didn't really count. the other ones, I think Lando Norris deserves a shout-out, probably for one of his dominance drives in Singapore, or even in Abu Dhabi, when he's got the pressure of the Constructors' Championship on him.
I would say Zandvoort was probably his most impressive. Singapore, yeah, he almost binned it. Yeah,
he did, twice. But obviously my winner would be Max Verstappen at Brazil, because that drive will go down in history to win from 17th on the grid when the championship could be getting away from you with the arrival on pole. And he did. He went from 17th up to 6th within...
He was lower down than that. He was lower down than that.
No, because he was on the back of the top pack. It was 6th or 7th.
He was still behind both Alpines.
No, only one of the Alpines.
He was behind both of them still at that point. I promise you, he was P3.
I watched his race back all the time. He was definitely...
Oh, for God's sake.
yeah, he was P7. He overtook Piastri on track and a few others. Hamilton on lap 2. That wasn't a restart.
Oh, yeah, but Hamilton's car that weekend was awful.
Well, and the driving wasn't particularly good either. But, yeah, that drive. And the fact that he set about 15 fastest laps in a row at the end of the race. Like, nobody else could even make an overtake on anyone. And he overtook.
Yeah, but nor could he earlier on. He couldn't get past Ocon. This is what I hate about this drive. So we've got, oh, yeah, but he did, like, 15 fastest laps. Because everybody else was stuck behind the two French cars for the rest of the race.
And he was behind them as well, but overtook them both.
He only managed to jump them off the restart because Ocon jumped out of the way.
Why did no one else jump them on the restart then?
Because no one could.
Well, exactly, because Max is better than everyone. So
right, there we go, yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, just Brazil is overhyped.
You're such a hater.
No, Brazil is overhyped. Like, he got lucky with the red flag timing that should never have been a red flag should never been a safety car in the first place. To begin with, I will absolutely die on this hill. Brazil was overrated.
Right. Well, I think we're going to agree to disagree. So let us know what you think the best driver of the year.
Let me just make my case for Silverstone again for you. You know, changeable conditions frequently. Obviously, he had to try and make all the right calls and then defended on much worse tyres towards the end of the race. But to be fair, Verstappen is also not very good at Silverstone.
That was also a very good drive from Verstappen to finish second still when the McLaren was the fastest car.
He was sorry, some conditions, yeah. But to win a Grand Prix for a ninth time as well, Jamie, and for it to be your home GP, first win in nearly 1,000 days, that for me was the moment of 2024.
As a Hamilton fan, I can see why that was the case.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think Brazil will go down in history, and all the pundits know it.
So will Silverstone.
So... I mean, yeah, they're both
so
will
Silverstone. Exactly.
But
what those two drives show is that still Lewis and Max are above the rest of the field. On their day, they are still a cut above the rest. Is what we
and
can
Max's day is very
agree.
Often. So.
Here we go. Sorry, how many wins has he got?
Well, more than anyone else this season.
No, how many wins has he got overall? Sorry,
we're not talking about 2014 anymore. Get in the present.
You constantly do.
Right, we'll move on. Worst drive of the year.
Ooh.
I mean...
Oh, this is a difficult one, isn't it? Joe's had a couple of stinkers.
Yeah, but he's in the car. Come on, you can't really...
Yeah, but he had a couple where he'd be like a lap off anybody else.
That's true. That is very true.
Through no fault of his own. Yeah, Lance Stroll.
He's probably got a few. Sergio Perez.
I was
going to
say, through no fault of his own, I guess obviously we're not talking about car problems here, because Leclerc obviously in Canada was a disaster. Although, actually, to be fair, I say Leclerc in Canada, Sainz in Canada was awful. Yeah. Had no car problems and then just binned it. I mean, it's got to be one of Perez's. Perez Mexico, I think, for me.
Perez Mexico is pretty poor. Yeah, 17th. And he had beef with Liam Lawson, didn't he?
Exactly. Which he lost out on, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Was that when Lawson flagged him on the main straight, or was that the race before?
Yes, yeah, yeah. No, that was that one.
I mean, I'm just looking at Stroll's. I mean, Stroll's Sao Paulo wasn't great, was it?
No, that is a very good shout as well.
I mean, Ocon in Monaco, that's pretty good. There's quite a few bad drives. I mean, Stroll
there were a few
in Italy
real stinkers.
Finished last behind both Saubers.
Yeah, but the Aston Martin that weekend was dog awful as well.
Alonso finished 11th.
Did he?
On the lead lap, yeah.
Didn't Stroll also have issues though, I thought, that weekend?
Well, it just
with like actual car issues. No, I think he did actually have proper car issues as well that weekend, if I remember correctly.
I don't recall. But I Fair will enough. Happily give this a Stroll in Brazil.
Stroll in Brazil, I think, yeah. He's probably the only drive all year worse than Perez in Mexico.
Perez in Mexico was very bad as well. Hulk in Brazil was funny as, just because he got out-qualified by his rookie teammate and then got black flagged.
He was, the first disqualification in, like, nearly 20 years, which is quite... Yeah. Or in mid-race disqualification.
Yeah, but let us know what you think. There's plenty of ones to pick from.
There were a few stinkers this year.
Was it? Although still got P4.
No. Was it P4 or was it P5 in the end, I thought, in Hungary?
It was fourth.
Okay.
It was. Best newcomer. This is a bit more positive. Because there's plenty
of... We didn't have any at the start of the year.
We thought there'd be none. Turns out there were, six drivers?
It wasn't six in the end. No, it was only four, wasn't it?
We had Behrmann.
Yeah, Doohan.
Lawson is kind of a newcomer.
Lawson. And...
Doohan. Colapinto. That's four.
Yeah, that's all of them, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Fair enough. Well, out of those four, Behrmann's overhyped.
No, it's not. To come in for your first race for it to be Saudi Arabia in a Ferrari, nonetheless.
It was impressive.
And let's not forget, almost helped them win the Constructors with those 6 points.
Well, yeah, but Sainz would have finished fourth that race and it would have been closer.
Or they just didn't have anyone in the car.
Yeah, it's true. But I think out of those four, it obviously can't be Doohan because he won one race. Lawson flattered to deceive a little bit, I'm not going to lie. Like, he was all right, but he didn't set the world alight. Colapinto set the world alight,
weird,
and then
it
all exploded.
Yeah, set the world alight and then proceeded just to stack the car over and over. It's such a shame with Colapinto, isn't it? Because it was such out of left field, and everyone was there going, like, what on earth is Williams doing? And it almost worked fantastically.
Yeah, the first three races, unbelievable. And he was
incredible.
Great.
Incredible.
And then after that, he just crashed and crashed and crashed. I saw a video, actually, well worth a watch, of all of Williams' 17 crashes this season.
Oh, yeah. Compiled. I mean, they've got, twice the crash damage of any other team, which is just
painful. And actually,
painful.
Colapinto, they kept the score of who had the most. Colapinto had the most. And it's how's he done that in 7 or 8 races?
Yeah.
Compared
impressive.
To 24 for Albon or 15 for Sargeant.
So when we say best newcomer, are we just talking about their results, are we?
Well, who's impressed the most?
I'm going to make the case for Behrmann, I think, here.
Okay.
Obviously, Lawson had already a bit of experience underneath him in Formula 1. Colapinto, if he'd only done the first three, I think, or first four, would have absolutely had it. Obviously, Doohan did next to nothing, which not his fault. Behrmann, points... twice for two separate teams. Admittedly, Baku was probably Hulkenberg's bogey track, isn't it?
And
but to come in,
beating him until he decides just to stop. But did not remember.
Yeah, vaguely. Obviously Brazil was a bit of a downer for Behrmann, but he'd never driven a Formula One car in the wet either.
Yeah, true. I would go with Behrmann as well.
I
despite
think that's fair.
Saudi Arabia being overhyped, he is literally an 18-year-old child. So
exactly,
fair enough. To be dropped into, and with no practice, to drop in on a Saturday. Was
first
good.
Ferrari rookie since 1961.
Yeah, which is a bit mad. A little bit crazy. Next up, so Ollie Behrmann wins our best newcomer. Most improved driver of the year. And this is improved from 2023, I guess.
End of 2023.
Or improved throughout the year, if you want.
Yeah.
But Yeah,
it's a really odd one, isn't it? Because it feels like most drivers' stock has either stayed the same or gone down.
I think one driver whose stock has gone up is Oscar Piastri.
That was what I was thinking.
I think Norris is probably has as well, because people kind of think he might be able to put a championship together now.
No, he won't.
But, yeah, I think Piastri obviously had won one sprint and had a couple of podiums by the end of 2023. And nobody really thought that he was going to get any wins. I know they thought, nobody thought McLaren would win a race at all. If you ask at the start, when we put him fourth in the championship, didn't we? Yeah. Everyone thought Red Bull would win every race, probably. And yeah, Piastri's wins, especially in Baku. The Hungarian was good, but it was obviously a bit asterisked by the rubbish management of that race by McLaren. But yeah, to get that win in Baku, which was a champion's drive, in your second season against a teammate who's done six seasons of Formula One and is very highly rated, I think, yeah, his stock has gone very higher this season, Oscar Piastri.
Is it a crazy one, Jamie, to suggest George Russell?
No, definitely not. I think
George Russell, yeah. He obviously came, you know, he did get hand... Everyone obviously sort of said 2022 was the, obviously, just the recap of 2021. Obviously, Hamilton, you know, just didn't have the motivation. Carr wasn't there. So everyone kind of put an asterisk on George beating him in 2022. 2023, Hamilton absolutely came back and did very, very well. You know, to finish comfortably P3 overall, just behind those two Red Bulls, was a very... And he did look at one point as well, like he could beat Perez in the championship, which would have been insane. Yeah. But for George to come back, obviously, with all the pressure of knowing that you've got to prove yourself this year to be Mercedes number one. And of course, yeah, you know, there's been a little bit of, you know, has he had a better car on some weekends and this, that, and the other. But I still think he's absolutely proved himself in a way that I don't think you can say about Lando Norris yet, that George Russell is absolutely now ready to lead that Mercedes team.
And as ridiculous as he is in presses, he has got a good mentality. Like, he goes about things in the right way.
Yeah.
In terms of, yeah, he's going to...
And we're talking about whose stock has risen the most here.
Yeah.
George Russell, I think, will be able to negotiate himself a very good contract with Mercedes.
Well, he had two podiums in 2023 and finished eighth in the championship.
That's
so it was pretty shocking. We were talking pre-show. We did a video at the start of 2024 of five drivers under pressure. One of them was George Russell.
He's and the I only think, one yeah, of the five, though, not to get sacked, isn't it?
Yeah, the other five have all lost their seats. So that's pretty good prediction from us, which went under the radar.
We know wheel, yes. Jamie. We know wheel.
We do.
Just don't watch our predictions from last week.
Yeah, I think George has been pretty good. His stock has definitely gone up, and obviously they're happy with him leading the team because they put Antonio next to him. So
yeah, all he's got to do next year is not get trounced by an 18-year-old, and he should be fine.
Yeah, he should be fine, shouldn't he? We'll see when we go to do our predictions. Will I put Piastri? Not Piastri. Antonelli ahead of Russell? Probably not. Yeah. What's next? Most surprising thing. That's very vague, but.
Most surprising thing of the year. I mean, the most surprising one, I think, has got to be the fact that Verstappen's having a kid, surely.
Yeah, third generation Piquet in Formula One.
Deary me. Most surprising, I think, honestly, for me, based on pre-season, I think, sensibly, I'd have to say that Ricciardo got sacked, because I was adamant he was going to Red Bull.
Well, at one point, he was, like, Schrodinger's cat between getting Red Bull or getting sacked, wasn't he?
Oh, exactly. You're thinking... no, Schrodinger is right. Sorry, yeah. it's the most shocking thing. I would honestly argue that we've got Newey leaving Red Bull.
That's pretty big.
I think is pretty crazy. I think that's probably got to be one of the big shock factors of the year, isn't it?
I think McLaren winning a Constructors' Championship was...
People would not have expected that. Yeah, yeah. That's pretty wild. But the fact
especially
that even going into this year...
Third.
Yeah, that people just didn't believe customer teams are going to be able to match still is pretty impressive, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, people, like, after... Red Bull won 23 out of 24 races. Was it? No, there's slightly fewer races than that. But regardless, they won all but one.
It was 21 out of 22, wasn't it? Because obviously it was cancelled.
Yeah. They won all but one race in 2023. And it was a given that they were going to win the Constructors and get pretty high in the drivers. Obviously, a 1-something. I put a 1-2, but that didn't happen. and yeah, the fact that Red Bull finished third and were the third fastest car quite often, if not fourth on some occasions. Yeah, I think that was...
To be fair, over the entire season, Red Bull still on average qualifying pace had the fastest car. Yeah, but it was obviously massively helped by the fact they were dominant early on in the year. They did have a ridiculous COP car.
Like, Verstappen's a better qualifier than both McLarens. So, if you put Norris and Piastri in the Red Bull and Max and Perez in the McLaren, then the McLaren would be the fastest car in qualifying, I think. Because you've got Max just carrying the average up, basically. I always think Haas finishing P6, Ayo Komatsu did a good job and didn't... We thought they were going to get pointless.
What was it stat I read? Haas have scored more points in 2024 than they did, I think, through 2020 to the end of 2023.
Yeah.
That's pretty mad.
In 4 years, that is.
Komatsu.
That's what happens when you get rid of Mick Schumacher.
That's brilliant. Well, and Gunther Steiner.
And Gunther Steiner, yeah. Leclerc winning Monaco. That was pretty surprising.
Yeah, that was a positive surprise, wasn't it?
But I would have to go with the...
I think, yeah, McLaren Constructors. Yeah, it's probably...
We'll go for least surprising thing. Least surprising thing, I think, was that Alpine self-destructed.
Well, they kind of got carried out of a self-destruction, though, didn't they, as well, which helped.
They did. Gasly sorted them right out at the end of the season.
He did.
But the Monaco... surprising things? Like, yeah. The June-July Alpine drama was hilarious and not surprising in the slightest.
No.
So yeah, the Ocon Gasly crash in Monaco, followed by a sacking and a million other sackings at the same time. I would have to go with that. Or Sergio Perez being awful.
I was going to say Lance Stroll keeping his seat when he absolutely has no right to. That's not very yeah, surprising.
That's true.
A bit of a shame. And I think the other one for me has got to be Max, obviously still winning another world title.
I was surprising at some point. Surprised me.
Well, for you it was, yeah. I was going to say, for me it wasn't. That car was just too OP early on.
Really?
Well, the thing is, again, it's so, like... Obviously, I'm not going to sit here and say you didn't do a good job throughout the rest of the year, but it is massively helpful when you've got a ridiculously OP car for the first few races, and then you've got three teams taking points out of each other.
Yeah,
and Lando Norris is your title threat.
It is true. I do think... It wasn't his best title, but it was probably his second best.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well, I just think the intensity and the all-out war of 2021, to win that under such pressure was...
Again, ridiculous. Michael Massey won that for you. He bottled the end of the year. We've said this so many
but
times,
but he still
Jamie.
Got that point, didn't
but
he?
But he bottled it. He absolutely bottled the end of the year so badly.
Still came away with the title, so it's okay.
All right, yeah.
But we'll move on for 2021. Least surprising thing. Yeah, Alpine, I would go for, because...
I'm going to say Stroll keeping his seat when he doesn't deserve it again.
Yeah, that's pretty good. But obviously, I'm a massive Stroll fan now on Twitter, so I can't...
Exactly.
I can't slander my
exactly.
boy. best race. I mean, we kept
what
scores
we,
of all our
what,
races.
Yeah, we have kept scores on this. I'm pretty certain Silverstone's won.
Silverstone is an 18 out of 20.
Nothing would have ranked higher than that, surely.
We got a 16 in Baku. That was pretty good. A 17 out of 20 in Canada. So, that's probably fair. Yeah.
What did
Brazil
get in the
Silverstone.
End?
Sorry?
What did Brazil get in the end?
Brazil got 15. Because
was that an 8 for you and a 7 for me?
Yes.
Because not a lot happened.
Well, no. But it was still very impressive. The first half of the race, and just the fact it's wet, Brazil was always good.
Yeah, but not happened.
Well, Max
at least Silverstone, there was constant action.
No one else had the skill to overtake anyone, apart from the best driver on the grid.
To be fair, we have said this both, haven't we, that what Brazil absolutely exposes, the ground effect cars are useless in the rain.
True. Yeah, but well, unless Max is driving it, then it's okay.
I'll behave.
I would happily admit Silverstone was the best race, although Canada was a close second. That was a very good race as well.
Canada was good. What it has proven again is changeable condition races are the best ones.
Oh yeah, but we all knew that anyway. That's Formula
One. Exactly. Nutshell, that's
it?
Not something.
Well, new. I wonder what our best dry race was. Baku was the second.
Baku
overall,
was dry.
It?
Yeah,
and that was pretty sick.
A although wet Baku race would be so dumb.
It would be carnage, wouldn't it? The amount of drivers that would just find the escape road at turn one and turn three. But yeah, Silverstone race of the year, and it's looking like it would get a contract extended, wouldn't it? Recently,
it should do. I mean, I do firmly believe Silverstone, Monaco, Spa, and Italy should just be locked in
lifetime
forever.
Lifetime contract.
Exactly. The four most raced on circuits should absolutely be locked down permanently.
Yeah, one thing I found out on last week was Monaco Sector 1 is a really big hill. And it's bigger than it looks on the telly, that's for sure.
Fair enough. What's it, about 40 metres, isn't it? Incline?
Yeah, massive elevation. And you lose it all by the time you get to the tunnel, and then the rest of the circuit's just flat.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
pretty cool. What was next? We're not doing worst race, because it's obviously Monaco.
Was it obviously Monaco? What was our lowest rated race of the year? Was it Monaco, I assume?
Yes, because Monaco
got
us
2 out of 20. What was second lowest rated? I'm interested.
We didn't rate anything lower than a 5 other than Monaco. That's mental.
I thought we did a couple of 4.5s.
No, none. None at all.
No?
So next
we need
lowest,
to get more
Bahrain
aggressive with
11.
Bad races, don't you?
Bahrain,
yeah, Bahrain
was
Red Bull dominance, wasn't it? Yeah.
But Monaco was a 2 out of 20, so that's, yeah. I mean, because of that big crash and red flag, which was...
Yeah, it screwed strategy, didn't it? The one thing that actually makes Monaco exciting was completely written off on that one.
So it was literally a procession for 77 laps. So, of course, that was the worst race of the year.
It was terrible.
Yeah, it was. That's a shame. First to lose seat in 2025. That's going to be fun.
Ooh.
Lance Stroll. Definitely not.
No, won't be Lance, sadly. Should be, but won't be.
Does Newey have some...
Yeah, but Lawrence will not have given over more... of a controlling state.
No, it's true. It is very true.
Firstly, if we believe the rumours, it could be Jack Doohan, if he's only got 4 races to prove himself.
Yeah, it could be. I saw Flavio Briatore in a restaurant in Monaco. Didn't ask
you
him
did,
about
didn't
Jack
you?
Doohan.
Yeah. Should have. How much younger do you reckon the... was he with a woman?
He was, and she looked about 30 or 40 years younger.
I was going to say, he does, like, disgust. I've seen pictures of him before women, and they're, like, 30 years younger. You know, it's just a bit grim.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be her. Although she's going to get a lot of money when he dies. So, first to lose seat on that note. Jack Doohan could well lose it very early on.
Liam Lawson, got to be another shame.
Yeah, Lawson could. I mean, to be honest, we've got rid of all the deadwood in Formula One, apart from Lance Stroll.
Which we can.
On the grid in 2025, which is quite hard to get rid of. So.
Who else could it be?
You'd probably
There's
have
not really
go.
Any others, yeah.
Lawson.
I mean, it could be Hadjar.
Lawson...
If he's absolutely stinks up, I can't see it being Hadjar, but it could be.
Could be Antonelli. Now they've got Bottas in reserve.
No, they won't. They won't get rid of Antonelli.
Mercedes are too nice to get rid of Antonelli.
No, that is absolutely Mercedes' long-term project, though.
But if he was in a Red Bull and he was awful and they've got a reserve driver there ready to go, they'd just swap him.
Could it be Tsunoda if Lindblad does well in an F2 early on?
Could be, since they basically given
up. Because he's doing like one of the rando F4 championships, so he's got enough super license points.
Like Joe Guanyu did back in the day.
Yeah.
It could be. But I would have to go for Jack Doohan, since they're absolutely screaming for Colapinto at Alpine.
Yeah.
So any excuse to get rid of Doohan, then they'll take it.
Yep, I think that's a fair bet. Congratulations, Jack Doohan. You've done one Formula One race and we already think you're going to be gone.
There wasn't even bad in that one Formula One race. Next up, the Minardi Award for not necessarily just the worst team, but which team did the worst one-off performance of the year. Sorry, I'll clear my throat. And Sauber, obviously a nomination, because, well, they're all year.
They're Sauber 2024.
Well, I might not finish this podcast the way I'm going. The way the whole grid celebrated them finishing eighth in round 23.
Yep.
Because everyone knows they're not a threat, was just so like patronizing.
Yep. I mean, let's be fair. They had a somewhat okay car at the start of the year, didn't they? And obviously ruined that with an inability to make pit stops happen, which is quite impressive.
Yeah, the pit stop thing was awful.
The fact that plagued them for like five Grand Prix at the start of the year, wasn't it? Is horrendous. I think it took till Miami to fix it, wasn't it? And then, yeah, of course, you have that hilarious thing in Miami when Bottas rocked up and they just changed his race engineer without him knowing, which was incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that?
And he quite liked his previous one.
He did quite like his previous one. He got there and was like, where is he? And they were like, oh, yeah, no, he's gone. We've sacked him.
And then the whole Monaco thing where their car lacked so much confidence that, Joe was
a lap behind anyone else. Bottas was like 8 tenths off anybody, wasn't he? And then Joe was a second off Bottas in qualifying, which is quite impressive.
Yeah. So I think the other nomination has to be Alpine for what they pulled in Monaco, basically. Well, what they pulled at the start of the year. They qualified on the back row in Bahrain, didn't they? After finishing sixth in 2020. Like, they were on pace with McLaren at the end of 2023.
Yeah.
And they could.
Well, they were a bit behind McLaren by the end of 23, weren't they? McLaren were a decent car by the end of 23.
They were, yeah. But they were battling at the start of the 2023, weren't they? And have you seen
a new
100 race plan dropped with Alpine?
Oh, have they? Wonderful.
Yeah.
Is that that they're not going to be in the sport?
Briatore's made plans for them to be winning races in 2026 and then winning championships by 28. It's like, cool.
Fair enough.
Go. Heard this one before.
I look forward to it. I think the last shout out for the Minardi award, because of course every year you always get this one team that have a couple of stinkers. Got to be Ferrari for Canada, hasn't it?
Oh, that was pretty impressive, wasn't it?
How on earth they came off a dominant weekend in Monaco to suddenly... I mean, it's probably, apart from Mercedes, or Aston Martin, I guess, the only real example of... Well, actually, out of the top three teams, it was the only example all year, wasn't it? Ferrari, that weekend, of somehow they completely were no longer a front-running car.
Yeah, they were like...
And then they
Williams,
completely
legit.
Shafted Leclerc over.
They did. And yeah, battling Williams was not a great look.
Cost them the constructors, in hindsight.
Yeah, it did. Even if they finished 14 points off. So what's that? A sixth and a...
Seventh.
Sixth and seventh, yeah.
Yeah. Which should be absolutely possible in that car.
Yeah, it's true. I will give my Minardi award to Sauber's tyre-changing ability, though.
I think Sauber, I think it would be unfair not to give Sauber the Minardi award this year. They didn't deserve
also,
to score a
like,
single point.
Legitimately, the fan zone pit stop game at Grand Prix tracks, you can do that in about 10 seconds if you're really bad. And Sauber were taking a minute to do it.
Repeatedly.
They could have just gone to the fan zone and picked up those wheel guns.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely incredible. And like you said at the start of the year, we never really thought about it before, but we were adamant just every team would have used the same wheel guns.
Yeah, but no, they're actually custom made.
Apparently so. Who knew? And I mean, let's be fair, I wanted to look at those ridiculous rims. That car also wins the award for worst looker of the year.
Ugliest, yeah. Worst driver of the year. We're getting quite negative now. But yes, who was the worst driver of the year? I mean, Logan Sargeant has to be up there.
It's a good shank. It's a good shank.
He had one okay race, didn't he? In Silverstone. And that was in game 11th in Silverstone after qualifying Q3. Yeah.
He loves Silverstone, does Logan Sargeant?
He does. He got his only or first F2. Was it his only F2 win there?
Yeah, I could not tell you.
I mean, Magnussen in Miami was, I guess, I know it was for a good cause, but...
Oh, yeah, exactly. I don't think that absolutely doesn't get put into that group. That should have been in drive
the race,
of the year.
The race was also pretty bad for him in terms of just taking out Sargeant for no reason and finishing 19th.
Yeah. Other ones? I'm trying to think. Again, you've got to give Lance Stroll a shout here, haven't you? Lance Stroll, Sergio Perez. I reckon we give this award three ways to Sargeant, Perez, and Stroll.
I can agree with that. Yeah,
there you go. Paris, they all get really a trophy.
Finishing eighth. You know, Perez is closer to Sargeant's points total than he was to Verstappen's quite easily.
Yeah, but that's always
which
been skewed,
means that
isn't it?
We are closer to finishing level with Sergio Perez than Sergio Perez is to finishing level with Max Verstappen.
To be fair, I think there's an equal chance that I beat Sergio Perez in a Formula One championship before he beats Verstappen.
Well, yeah. There's an equal chance either of us drive a Formula One car before Perez does next.
It's probably, yeah, to be fair.
Yeah. Driver of the year. And why is it Max Verstappen? Because that's my award.
Yeah. I really, really... But based on our driver of the day, it actually goes to Leclerc. He had the most driver of the day nominations of the year.
He did, but the most driver of the day does not equal best driver, otherwise Verstappen's already the GOAT. So, yeah.
Surely it'd be Rio Haryanto if he was still in F1.
Yeah, true. 100% win rate at one point of his career.
Exactly. I want to say Leclerc, because I think he did have a really underrated year.
He did.
And, you know, as we said stinkers. So many times. Which stinkers did he drop, though? Where he wasn't Austria. Shafted by the team. In Austria, he was unlucky lap one he got crashed into, which gave him damage.
And Silverstone was kind of the team, but it was also kind of his call.
Silverstone was mainly the team's fault. They screwed him over trying to help Sainz.
And to be honest,
Canada
was
the car. This is the thing with Leclerc all year, is apart from those who... Did he ever actually finish outside of the top five, excluding that little run? Was there a couple of races at the back end of the year? I'm forgetting that he did.
No,
like,
he was top five every race other than that.
Was he top five every single race apart from those? Which is an insane stat. In a Ferrari car that was very rarely the best.
I'll say Max was top six every race apart from Australia when he retired. So there's not even any caveats to that. He was just in the top six every single race.
But Leclerc also had some unreliability and things like that as well.
Well, the only bit of Max's non-top six was unreliability.
Exactly. So I'm saying they were equal.
Yeah. But
no,
Max won the championship.
But he had a better car over the course of the year.
Well.
My heart wants to say Leclerc, but I still do believe that if they were put in an equal scenario, that Verstappen would beat him, which is the only sad thing.
Yeah.
But I'm really hoping Red Bull absolutely fall off next year.
Phenomenally well. I would be quite surprised if Verstappen wins 2025 if the car pace is similar to how it was at the end of the year.
Yeah, but they still had a very good car towards the end of the year. That four-week break absolutely allowed them to rebound.
It did, yeah. But there are a bunch of wins there that you just should not have got. So Imola,
a bunch?
Canada, Spain.
Imola? Imola, the car was still the best. He got carried by Hülkenberg on a circuit where no one could overtake.
He did get carried by Hülkenberg. So really, Hülkenberg should have been on that podium.
Okay.
To get a second.
Spain was a bit of a McLaren. Did he get. Yeah, he did, didn't he? Because they tried to long Oscar Piastri.
And then obviously winning from 17th on the grid was pretty good going.
Nice red flags, mate.
Well, no one else won from 17th.
If Lewis Hamilton did that, you would hate on him mercilessly.
Lewis Hamilton did do pretty much that in Germany in 2018, didn't he?
So... there was no red flag.
Well, that was a lucky safety car. But,
lucky, there was a car up in the wall. There wasn't one in Brazil.
Yes, there was.
No, there wasn't. It
wasn't. Pinto was much more in the wall than Vettel was.
No, why was Colapinto in the wall? The safety car was already out. He binned it trying to catch back up because they shouldn't have brought out a safety car in the first place.
Because there was going to be a car in the wall if they waited more than a minute anyway.
Well, you wait until... You don't preempt an incident like that, Jamie. Otherwise, you just say, oh, we're never going to race again because there might be a crash.
Yeah, but the rain was so heavy that it's very much precedent that when it's stupidly heavy rain, they slow down the race. Or red flag it.
Because Formula One's gone stupid, hasn't it?
Gone soft, yeah.
Exactly.
Max Verstappen wins my driver of the year. Let us know why your driver of the year was also Max Verstappen in the comments below.
Or Charles Leclerc.
And the worst knowing wheel prediction, which we went over last week, but there's also any other prediction that we could have made. I believe at some point you put Hamilton to in a race that he then finished like really bad in.
Did I? You sure?
Maybe I'm... No, you put him on a podium in Silverstone, which actually came true, didn't it?
Exactly. Thank you. You won that one.
He actually did. You're correct.
Worst prediction of the year, I think, is either got to be me believing Ricciardo would get the Red Bull seat, or you thinking Perez would finish the year P2.
Yeah, that's probably fair enough. The other ones, I mean, both had Piastri 10th in the championship.
But neither of us thought McLaren would continue the form they did last year.
Oh, you had Ricciardo 8th and he ended up without a seat, so that's pretty bad.
That's pretty bad as well. That's pretty bad as well.
And Hamilton P2 for you wasn't great. Although it was better than my Perez P2, to be fair.
Exactly. It was more accurate. No, I think we've had a few clangers this year, haven't we?
Yeah, we've not had the best. Although both of us got the champion right for the third year in a row, which I think is not that difficult.
Did I say Verstappen 2022 world champion going in?
Probably not, actually. I know I did. I'm pretty sure neither of us said Max in 21. Let's go back and look, though.
I don't think we did one for 2021.
Oh, we started in pre-season after race one, didn't we? So
Yeah.
Yes. But that rounds off.
Is that all of them, Jamie?
That is all of them.
Wow.
That is all of them.
Well, I just...
Yeah, we rattled through those.
Jamie's got to be at work, I believe. In our driver predictions? What do you mean?
Like, making our 2025 driver lineup.
That was ages ago, wasn't it? Yeah. Well, we'll have to have a look at that one. We'll have to recap that when we go through our predictions 2025, because that was a good one. Have we got anything else to add, though, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything we wanted to.
Yeah, I think that's everything. I need to be in work in a minute. Oh, now.
It's so, now, exactly.
Oh, my alarm's going off.
Which is good.
Oh, no.
Well, Jamie's got to go now. So, I mean, yes. I just want to say a massive thank you to everybody for the support throughout 2024. You know, like we said in the intro, this was the first year where kind of knowing Wheel was completely separate from, obviously, my own personal channel. And, we want to do a lot more with it in 2025. So, a massive thank you to everybody that's kind of stuck around and enjoyed our weekly rambles. I mean, it has been quite funny, hasn't it, Jamie, to see just how many other Formula One podcasts got launched in like 2021, 2022 that have now been scrapped, and we just keep chugging away because we do this for the passion more than anything else. Hopefully that always comes through on the content. Exactly. It's nice for us to sort of ramble as well. But yeah, thank you all so much for watching. Let us know all of your award winners for 2024. We'll be back. Hopefully normal service will resume within the next couple of weeks. But yeah, obviously 2025 pre-season hype, it all kicks off very, very soon. And I wish you all a happy new year as well.